Dominga and I were in the library, and all the rest of the people that were here for class were in the chapel getting ready to study 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. But Domingo and I had a special purpose. There was a young man that had joined us, and he was interested in knowing what he had to do to be a part of us and to be right with God. Jason, will you stand up a minute? You have a new brother in Christ. Thank you. So indeed, he was baptized Wednesday night. And I'll tell you what, I never said a word during that entire study. I know you have a hard time believing that, but I never said a word. And yet when we went up into the auditorium, I rejoiced greatly. There is nothing you and I will ever feel that feels like someone putting their Lord on in baptism. The only thing I can say is amen. The other thing I wanted to share with you is I've talked to a number of the elders, and we have determined to cancel Wednesday night Bible study. And if you want to know why, because the next day is Thanksgiving, and that'll give you time to get ready. So there will be no Wednesday night study this coming week. But 10 o'clock on Thursday morning, after sitting beside him for an hour on Wednesday night, I get a call not from my beloved brother. Yeah, Domingo. And he said, look, he said, I don't want to worry you. And immediately I was worried. He said, I have COVID. So I knew something was coming. I knew that, because I know Domingo well. And so I just hit him right up front. I said, whatever you need, the answer is yes. He said, you mean that? I said, I love you. Yes. And so he asked me to deliver a message to you today. And so I started on at 11 o'clock on Thursday. And by Friday lunchtime, I had it honed down to about an hour and 10 minutes long. Okay? Don't panic. So I determined that I needed to make some adjustments. And I went and looking desperately for an adjuster. Okay? And I found it on Sherry's desk, and I come back, and here is a very sharp piece of scissors. Okay? Originally, my lesson had 8 points. Snip. Now it's down to 4 points and 35 minutes, hopefully. What do I want to talk about today? There are so many things that need to be addressed from the pages of the Bible. So I'm going to begin by asking you a question. As a matter of fact, I'm going to make you feel good. My entire lesson only has 2 questions in it. The first one is going to lead us up through an introduction to the other one. And don't get any ideas. The second one is the doozy. Okay, that will be the meat of my lesson this morning. So here's the first question. Why are we here? And you know, that seems like it would be a relatively easy question to answer. But I'm going to tell you right now, if I polled this audience, I can almost tell you I'd get about 70 different answers. You ever stop and think? I mean, I know what we are. So do you. We're the body of Christ. That's not what I want you to think about. I want you to think about why we are here. And probably the answer I'll get from this young man right here is because I want to be. I am here because I want to be. And I would have to tell him that wasn't one of the ones that I come up with. Why are we here? Two very, very valid points for you to consider. We're going to go back to John, the third chapter, and verse 16. For God so deeply, deeply loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Wow. So the first thing I would toss at you, why are we here? Because our God and Father in heaven wants you and I here. As a matter of fact, I can tell you emphatically, there is no place on this earth he would rather us be. Do you understand that? Now, there is somewhere he wants us to be more than here. But you have to go home to get there. Okay? You see, we are in the branch office right now. But at some point, you and I will be translated to the home office. Isn't that true? I believe we went to a funeral service yesterday. A dearly beloved sister had been transferred to the home office. She's in heaven now. So, I said there was two points that I had in reference to that first question. Why are we here? Anybody got a brilliant idea what number two is? I'll help you. Because God, in the form of Jesus Christ, died on the cross at Calvary to make it possible for you and I to be here. And if Walter wants to say that he's here because he wants to be, I'll accept that. Because that is very, very true. When you and I consider what God, in two parts, did for us, one of the resulting factors that comes out of those two thoughts is that we want to please him because we have grown to love him. Okay. So that explains a little bit why you and I are here. God wanted us here. Christ wanted us here and paid the price to make that possible. So, now let's talk about the second question. And this is the stumper. What do we do now that we're here? Okay, you ever think about that? Well, there's a passage in the Bible that addresses that. But quite often, we don't look at it. You understand that? I mean, that passage comes from the book of 1 Timothy, the third chapter, and it's the last part of the chapter. When we go there, we're always looking at the qualifications from elders, aren't we? Verses 1 through 7 discusses all those beautiful qualifications. Or we're looking at the qualifications for deacons. Verses 8 through 13 deal with deacons. Tell me something. What does the rest of the chapter, 14, 15, and 16, cover? It covers the elders. It covers the deacons. And it covers every single one of us that are here today. And it's a crying shame that we overlook that passage quite often. Well, we're not going to overlook it this morning. I'm going to read it to you. I am writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long. But in case I am delayed, I write so that you may know how one ought to conduct himself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. I told you originally when I started this, I had 8 points. And in order to really answer, how should you and I conduct ourselves, knowing that we're the household of God, the church of the living God, and the pillar and support of truth? I'm going to tell you, I could give you 25 points right now. And we could be here until about 4:30 or 5 o'clock, maybe 5:30, going over those. Because there are so many things that appear in the pages of the New Testament that are critical to answering that question. And yet, I've settled for 4. And don't worry, the next time I gotta get up here, you'll hear the other 4. How's that? So I want to address these to you, and I want you to think about them as we answer, how do you and I conduct ourselves in the household of God? Number one, we need to treat everyone as a critical and vital part of this body. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Do you know what it says? It says, consider others as more important than yourself. As a matter of fact, if you go out into the foyer, you'll find a sign on one of the walls out there that says those exact words. The focal point in my life should be you. If I'm trying to do what God wants me to do, as I struggle to figure out how I conduct myself in the household of God, number one has to be that you are the most important thing in the world to me. I mean, other than my God and my Savior and His Spirit, on this earth, you're so much more important than I am. And that should be the motto of our lives. And yet, I have been in congregations where people feel absolutely unimportant, insignificant. And for the life of me, I could never figure that out. John, the Gospel, chapter 13, 14, and 15. Can you tell me how many times Jesus says in those 3 chapters that he reiterates what the great commandment is, or the new commandment is? He will say it 3 times. A new commandment I give unto you, that you what? That you love one another, even as I have loved you. Because by loving one another, the world will know that you are my disciples. So, Can you see where my idea of you being more important than I am comes into play? You can understand it. If that's so, if that's actually so, then why in the world should anyone in the body of Christ feel insignificant or unimportant? If I adopted a habit in my life where I focused on others before I focused on me, we wouldn't have that problem in the church. There would be no one that would consider themselves insignificant or unimportant. Where should our eyes be focused? So this is going to point up, because ultimately our eyes should be focused towards the Father and the Son. As a matter of fact, that's scripture. Do you know that? Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 will tell us that we need to focus upward. Somewhere in there, it also says you and I need to focus outward. Now, would you like me to tell you where it's at? Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 31 and going through 46, where all the nations of the world will stand in judgment. And on the left, you have one group, and on the right, you have another group. Who's on the left? Did I hear someone say sheep? Who's on the right? Yeah, that's where the goats are. And what were Jesus' words? Come unto me. Why? Because I was hungry, and you fed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And you know, he goes on, and I think there's seven of those things that he says. And the sheep look at him and say, when did we ever do that to you? And he said, when you did it to one of these, the least of my little children, you did it to me. Where should my eyes be focused? This way and that way. So, if you and I do that, there won't be any such thing as insignificance in the household of God. So, point number two, be regular in your attendance and participation. I apologize because I can't pull a verse out of the Bible and throw it at you and say, this is what God says through his word on attendance and on participation. But it got said in that class in there this morning, didn't it? God gave you talents, or a talent. That's the first fact. And the second fact, and it was touched on numerous times in that class, you need to use that gift. That covers the participation part of it. We need to be lovingly willing to be any kind of a part in the service of the household of God that we can be. You know, part of the reason why people do not feel important, why they feel insignificant, is because they come in and they'll sit down in one of these pews And at the end of services, they'll get up and go home. And it's a shame to say it. They do not ever become involved. You know, if you want to feel like you're a part of the household of God, then start being a part of the household of God. I mean, that's a relatively simple statement, but it's also very, very true. You and I feel like we're a part of something when we're involved in something. Let's talk a bit about a baseball team. Walter is playing ball in the summertime, softball. But all he ever does is sit on the bench. He doesn't ever get to get up and play. Tell me something. How would that person feel? They're off in a different world. They would feel unimportant. They would feel insignificant, but I'll tell you what, you let him get up to bat and hit a single that puts someone on second base, and eventually that person goes home, crosses the home plate, and his team wins 5-1. Tell me something. How's he feel now? A world of difference. Isn't that correct? Because he feels like a part of something. That's the way we all should feel. I mean, if God and Christ loved us enough to put us here, then you and I need to love them just as much as our Father and His Son. Chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians talks about a comparison between this, okay, the physical body, and that, the spiritual body, doesn't it? And how this, every single part of it, functions for the betterment of the whole. Isn't that true? You better believe it's true. And he alludes to the fact, Paul alludes to the fact, that the church is the same way. That when you get all the different pieces of the body functioning right, the church goes the way God designed it to go, towards heaven. You know, I've done a whole lot of thinking about this. Ask me what part of the body here I consider myself to be. Go ahead, ask me. Ask me, Walter. I'm the little toe on the left foot. Okay? Don't laugh. I believe that wholeheartedly. You say, George, you're more significant than that. No, I'm not. Stop and consider something. That little toe is absolutely critical in driving this body forward. And in the same way, that little toe will do its part to keep this body right way. Please stop. Okay. I'm not sure what part of it you are, but I'm convinced thoroughly that I'm the small toe on the right foot. Now, I'll tell you how important that is. We have a brother that just recently lost that little toe on the left foot and part of the bone.
And they are working earnestly to convince him that he will have to learn how to walk all over again. Oh. Am I proud of the fact that I'm the small toe on the left foot? Amen. Next point. Be a regular, cheerful giver. And you're sitting there thinking, I knew he'd get some monetary somewhere. And when you're talking about giving, you have to talk about that. But I'm not leaning heavily on that as much as I'm leaning very heavily on Romans 12, 1 and 2. Who do you belong to? Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself as a what? A living sacrifice, holy and blameless to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Your finances do not matter unless you've first given yourself to God. I'm not telling you that the way you and I are prospered and what we give to the church isn't important. I'm not saying that. But God wants you first. Keep in mind where that prospering came from. It came to you from the Father anyways. So it was his in the first place. That's not true about you and I. We need to present ourselves to God. And I guess the point that probably needs to be touched on more than anything is the one I'm going to do last. You and I need to be honest ambassadors for the cause of Christ. What's an ambassador? Somebody who speaks and acts in behalf of something or someone. And that's a general explanation, but I wanted it to be general. If the world looks at you and I, can it recognize us as the children of God? Can it? If it can't, I can tell you this. There's room for improvement on you and I being ambassadors for Christ. And I'm not talking about towards the lost outside. We need to convey the thoughts and the actions of Jesus to one another, don't we? Remember what I said earlier? A new commandment I give unto you. That you what? Love one another. How? Even as I have loved you. That is the call that comes to you and I constantly. And part of the way that you, that the world will see that we're different, oddballs, if you will, and don't laugh, it is actually scriptural. First Peter chapter 2, verse 8. Now, the more modern versions simmer that down a little bit. But there is one, and I believe it's King James, that calls us oddballs or peculiar people. Or, you know, we can throw in some words there that'll help explain it. What I'm trying to point out to you is there is a way that you and I need to walk as the household of God. And I believe there's only one right way that will bring praise and glory and honor to the Father. I've shared four things with you today that I believe are utmost and should appear and be active on in our lives each and every day. Okay? I don't believe any one of those four can be taken away. And sometime I'll share the other four with you because they're just as important. So what do I say to you in way of closing this lesson? Where do you stand in reference to the household of God? Ever consider that question? Well, let me ask it a different way. Are you a member here? Would you like me to answer it a different way yet? Have you ever put on Christ Jesus as your personal Savior? That's hitting home a little bit better. Hopefully, the three questions I just ask will all be answered with an emphatic yes. Okay. And if they're not, then we would really love to talk to you about changing that. I mean, go back to that first question that I asked. Why are we here? Now let me ask it again to each and every one of you. Why are you here? How much did God have to do with bringing you here this morning? I believe a lot. The call comes to you now and always. If you need to change things in your life, if you need to sit down and talk with someone, if you want to know more about the household of God, the church of the living God, and how you become a part, then we'd love to talk to you. If you need to come this morning for any reason, then we invite you. With all of our heart, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.